Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go. Okay, guys, welcome to another edition of the Irish Photography Podcast. Today is not our normal recording day or release day, but it is an emergency podcast nonetheless. Canon have just released their brand new Canon EOS R camera. Okay, not only that, but they released a few lenses this morning and a few toys to go along with the new camera. They released it this morning in Hawaii. I got to see it first thing this morning when my child was dancing on my face while I was in the bed watching it via Scott Kelby. It was fantastic to see. Now, they dragged it out a bit. I totally really believe that. But, you know, they're just building it up and building it up and just going to release this beautiful thing. Now, that is debatable. John, how debatable is it?
Well, like you said, I was actually listening to that this morning, Dad, as well, trying to get the Weetabix in one plate, the cornflakes in the other plate, and the phone in one hand, trying not to drop it down the sink. So it was quite good. But to tell you the truth, it reminded me of something like an Apple launch. You know, you see the lads in Apple launching a new product, but it was obviously a little bit of a lower key version of it. I thought the end of it when Scott Kelby, is that right? Am I pronouncing his surname right?
Yeah, Scott Kelby, yeah.
When he went around on his own with the video, you know, I thought that was better because we were kind of hearing it off the cuff, really, on what it was all about. I like it. You know, I'm a little bit different to yourself and Darren. I know you'll be speaking to Darren later on. Like, you two guys are really the techie guys, the specky guys, but I'm your average Joe who just, I believe, look... You know, a camera is the best one you have on you. That's the cliche, whether it's a phone, a point and shoot, whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm a Canon shooter. I was excited about listening to this morning. I was excited all week about the launch. But if I was Nikon, I'd be the very same. And if I was Sony, I'd be the very same. I'm not a one-trip pony when it comes to cameras. Saying that, I am in the market and I want to change my camera. And I've been excited about this. I am torn between Sony and Canon. Is it worth my while staying with Canon? Remains to be seen. What I heard this morning, you know what, I think I would like to give it a pop, but something's telling me that there's going to be another camera launch quite soon. I don't think this is their professional end. To launch one camera with all the lenses, and I thought they focused an awful lot on the lenses this morning. The glass, which is quite important, but remains to be seen. I think they're going to, my luck, I'll go out and buy it. 6 months later, then a newer and better one comes along. So am I willing to wait? Maybe.
It's funny you say 6 months now, John, because if you backtrack a few months ago, the rumours and Canon rumours on all these websites and all that were saying that the Canon are going to release two new cameras, okay? And then when it came down to it, they only released one.
Exactly.
But only a few weeks ago, another website was saying that they're only going to release one on this day and another one 6 months later, which is going to be the more professional grade one. So you're onto something there, and I think you might be right. But one of the big things about this camera, and people are going to freak out, one memory card slot. So you're going to have Jared Polin, and you're going to have Scott Kelby won't give it such a bashing because he's an ambassador for Canon, but the likes of Sharky James and all those guys, they're going to bash this camera alive just because it has one memory card slot. I can see why, in a weird way, as a professional wedding photographer, yes, but that wouldn't bother you because you wouldn't be a wedding photographer.
I'm ultimately a landscape photographer, and that was the other thing as well, Dad. Like, they spoke an awful lot today about weddings, you know, the wedding photographers were mentioned, portrait photographers were mentioned, but they didn't really touch on your landscape photographer, you know, which I found interesting. No. Unless I missed it. Going back to your one card slot there, I know this is not a comparison podcast at all, but did I read somewhere that the new Nikon Z has only got one card slot as well?
That's right. But yeah. And the both of them only have one card slot. At least Canon have one more camera to go soon. We could be totally wrong now. They mightn't have nothing lined up at all.
But they do, I think they will release another camera in 6 months' time.
I don't think a big company like that's just going to release one without backing it up with another. Not at all. We're going to see another camera. I bet on it we will. So from my point of view, do I wait another 6 months? I think I will. You know, I'm in no rush. Now, I'm happy with what I have. I'm getting a few nice shots. Maybe I will wait.
Yeah, yeah. Now, me personally, I don't think I'm going to buy this camera. I considered it this morning, but I think I'm going to hold off for 6 months down the line. Now, not only did the camera get released today, they released the mount and the adapters. And what's very interesting about that, John, was that the fact that Canon are going to try and get into the filter game now. So Lee, Nisi, or whoever are, what are companies, Format iTech. Yeah. So they're trying to step on their toes by releasing this adapter, which will have drop-in filters. So you can drop in a circular polarizer onto the adapter, and you can add in a gradient filter. So that's interesting. Kind of interesting.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Coming from a landscape point of view, that's very interesting. One other thing as well that I picked up on, and now correct me here if I'm wrong, okay? Because like, as I said, I'm not the techie guy. They did say it's weather sealed, a magnesium alloy body.
Okay. Oh, wait. This is debatable. It's very grey area, the way they were talking on the live feed this morning. It sounded like some of them are weather sealed, some of them are not. Okay. So the camera depends what lens is attached to the body, whether it's going to be weather sealed or not.
Is it going to be more sealed than the Sony?
I can't comment on.
I know, yeah, but these are the decisions you have to make depending on the type of photography you do. Like, there's many times I'm out in moisture getting wet, you know. Do you know?
Now, with my 5D Mark III, I'll put it anywhere in any situation, and there's not a hope it's going to get damaged. You could pour a 2-liter bottle of water in it, I would say, and it'd still work.
Absolutely.
But my Sony A7R Mark II, not a hope would I leave it anywhere, any bit of rain. And I have shower caps there. If it does start raining, I throw it on it straight away because I'm terrified of it getting wet and just breaking and be left at no camera.
That's a massive thing for me, Dodd. That's a big thing for me because I'm often out. You know, I've shot with my camera on the side of the pitch, you know, and it gets wet, whatever. And I'm happy. I'm okay. I'm confident in it. But that's what I've heard with the Sony. And, you know, I can't wait for you to talk to Darren later on. Will you fire that question at him, by the way?
Yeah.
Ask him because I won't see you. I'm going to be on the pitch training. Ask him is he going to switch to Sony and why? Why is he going to switch to Sony? Is he going to wait for this, what we're presuming, a higher range camera from Canon? He's going to go to Sony. He's always on the fence anyway.
I think he will go to Sony. But, you know, it's going to be an expensive move for him, so he's going to have to save up and get the bucks for it. Putting that aside for now, John, they also released a line of lenses. Some of them are very interesting, which I would have my eye on, especially the 50mm 1.2, but it has a pricey half tag, man.
What's that come now?
€2,729.
Wow.
The other lens that I was like, oh, this could be really, really nice, is the 28-70 f2 lens. Mm. But it's $3,500. Wow.
What's the 24-105 f4 coming in at? And the reason I say that to you is because we have the 25-104. 105 f4,
24-105. That's coming at 1,319.
I wonder, is there a big difference? There must be a big step up from the.
It has to be because the technology moves on so much. So it's going to be sharper. It's going to be a bit better.
I love that lens, by the way. That is a great lens. That's a walkabout lens, big time. I don't think it got great reviews for the video. Is that right? No, I don't do video. You do video.
It annoyed me. That's the one thing that I am annoyed about this release of the camera. It will only do 120 frames at 720p. That's just simply not good enough. Yeah. I'm sorry now. It should be much better than that. And that's one area where I would be like, not too happy with that. You know, I was hoping and wishing. I seen a link online there during the week that they were rumored to have 240 frames at 1080p. I was there, oh my God, this could be amazing. Now, I don't know if you understand what that means, but it's awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah. But it didn't happen. Yeah. So it's pointless even carrying on with this part of the conversation.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. But again, that's why I think they're holding back. I still think they're holding back. You know, they'll go.
But a lot of people say that Canon have been holding back for no reason, just maybe to push you towards the flagship model of the 1D X Mark II, you know. So
I suppose for me now, is it a case of would I stick with what I have? And I was looking at the 5D Mark IV and I was looking at the Sony. The dynamic range they're saying is thereabouts of the 5D Mark IV of this the OS 4 of the SR. But the dynamic range is better than Sony. So you see, it's interesting. There's a lot to be discussed, a lot to be decisions.
Who said the dynamic range is better than the Sony? Did you read that in line, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'd believe that. The dynamic range in the Sony is sick. If you ask Bernard Geraghty or any Sony ambassador, like, they'll tell you that the Sony is just phenomenal, the dynamic range. Yeah. Like, even from my own experience, but I haven't in a Sony A7R 2. Sometimes I don't even need filters.
Yeah, so I know. It's class. Come here, quick one there for you.
Yeah.
On your Sony, when you're looking through the viewfinder, you can see your image you've taken, correct? What's that called? What's that feature called? And is that on this Canon?
You see the picture in the EVF. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it's actually called, but when you take the picture, it comes up on the eyepiece inside, and I actually love that. It is actually very cool, because do you know, on a sunny day when you're photographing and you can't see the back of your LCD, I just stick my eye up to the eyepiece and I get to see the actual image. And now Jared Poland says it's a load of crap and that it doesn't have the quality, but I actually quite like it.
It gives you a good idea, like you said. If you can't see it at the back of your screen, it's a great way of seeing it without seeing it at all. But that is a nifty little feature. So yeah, that's about it really with us.
One more thing. I think what I love about this camera, the one thing I do love is the flippy outy screen.
Oh yeah, the articulated screen.
That's it. That's what I said. I can't pronounce that word.
Go on, try it.
The flippy outy screen, the flippy out screen is great for vloggers, so I think this will be popular to care to vloggers, so it'll be a good camera. Now this camera, I think it's basically a 60.
Does that make sense? I think it's a 60.
I'm still waiting for your pro camera to come out. Now, it's 60 is still a pro camera, but it's a lesser pro camera than the 5D Mark III.
Totally agree.
Would you agree? So I think this is basically a mirrorless 60.
Whereas some people are saying this is a mirrorless Mark IV.
But they're going to release that in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Now, it's the same sensor as the 5D Mark IV. Now, your man Rudy from Canon said it's a similar sensor to the 5D Mark IV. It's the same sensor. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Hopefully we'll be in stores soon when it's launched and when it's released, and we get our hands on ourselves and we can, you know, we can bring the podcast from the stores.
So Cannes have invited us up already, which is great.
Look forward to that.
So I'm going to leave that there with you, John, and don't go away, guys, because I'm going to move over to Darren now in a few minutes, and we'll be chatting to Darren. Myself and Darren will probably go into a bit more in depth about the specs of the camera and all that. So, John, thanks a million for coming on for this emergency podcast. And
good stuff, Dermot.
So we'll leave it there. Thanks a million, buddy.
Talk to you soon. Cheers, pal. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
Okay, guys, so I've moved on. I'm being a bit of a tramp. I'm going from John Mylert over to Darren Spoonley, my good old buddy down in Cork, for our today's emergency podcast. Darren, how are you getting on, buddy?
I'm great. Great altogether, Dermot. How are you?
Good. Tired now, especially after yesterday being up in Dublin, but exciting times here, especially, to be honest. Yeah. So it's going to keep me on my toes.
Yeah, especially since we're up since half past eight this morning.
Yeah,
so I said we're tired since been up from half eight this morning watching this live. In fairness to Scott, he was quite good in regards to getting his phone there, because I was very surprised that Canon had no official live stream. What was going on there?
Yes, I was a bit surprised by that as well, but thank God Scott Kelby had a live feed. And it's lucky it was just by chance that I was scrolling through Facebook as my normal kind of scroll in the morning, you know, and I just spotted it and I was like, oh, and I tagged the two of you in it straight away.
Yeah, and you know, when I when I turned it on, I thought, looking at the this was in Hawaii, this is the biggest launch, and it looked like that they were still in the Green Isle Hotel from yesterday. And it seemed like there was only around 40 or 50 people there as well, you know. No, I mean,
yeah,
there was a couple of interesting guys, I suppose. Obviously, you got Scott there, you know, and then, Jared Polan, FronosPhoto.com.
.com. I got there before.
Yeah, you know, he just jumped up straight away and into it. And then I saw Tony and Chelsea Handler, and, you know, like a lot of big people there. So they invited a lot of people over to Hawaii. It was a big event, but wow, man. I really thought that I was looking at something from the Green Isle Hotel yesterday.
Yeah, like even when they're kind of announcing in a product and they're like looking for their applause, it sounded like there was 20 people in the room. Do you know?
Yeah.
I was a bit surprised by that. Yeah. But anyway, look, we'll park that for another day. For we can give about Canon another day about it. So I went through with John earlier about kind of like the aesthetics of the camera and what it means to him from an upgrade point of view. Now, with you, I wanted to hold off with the kind of the tech kind of side of the camera.
Sure.
Now, one of the biggest things that will jump out at us, Darren, is especially the new mount.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's huge. You know, a Nikon have a bigger mount as well. Like, but what does that mean for Canon?
Well, look, I suppose we can look at it in a couple of ways, really. Obviously, they had to do a different mount because they had to get the lens closer to the sensor. So that's one thing, I suppose, really. They couldn't really use the existing lenses. And that was a disappointment, if I'm being honest with you, for me. Because what I was really hoping out was that, okay, I could use my existing lenses. And no, I can't use my existing lenses. I can with an adapter, but I mean, there's three different types of adapters. And I really haven't gotten a chance to get a look at the adapters properly yet. But I do believe there's three types and each of them have their own merits. And you can control the camera more in regards to that. But the fact that now it's a new mount totally, is it the future from the Canon point of view? They're certainly lauding it as that this is going to be how things are going forward. But yeah, it's really big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I think the mount is just for all these new lenses, and they're basically trying to future-proof themselves, you know, with all these new things coming out in the market, these new lenses. Like, it was great to see that they actually released this camera with a 50mm 1.2, whereas Nikon only came out with F4s, like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Fair play to Canon on that part.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, it's a 30.3 megapixel camera. No surprise there. I think we were all kind of expecting that.
Look, it's a full-frame camera. It's 30 megapixel resolution, right? But it sits in between the Sony A7 III and the Nikon Z7.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, I don't want to lead the way. I don't want to be left behind. You know what? I'll go in the middle. It's safe ground. Now, you look at others and where the markets come in to compete against, you know, it's about the megapixels. But it's not necessarily about the megapixels, but you know what I mean. It's about the megapixels. That's what people are looking for. And you look at the Sonys and the Sony A7 R3. That's 48 megapixels or something? 42? Yeah.
Sorry. My Sony A7 R2 is 42 megapixels. I think the R3 is the same.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know...
Don't quote me on it.
Nobody can quote you in anything on this thing, man. You know? True story.
Thanks, Darren. You make me sound like a...
True story.
Plank.
But yeah, I mean, look...
It's not a true story. It's not a true story. I'm not a plank.
But yeah, look, I think it's kind of playing their cards very, really safely. You know, they're bang smack in the middle. Yeah, you know, 30.3, okay, it's good. You know, I shoot in a 60 and what's that, 20 megapixels? I don't even know. But like the fact that 30.3 is coming in there, I think it's going to be good. I did see a couple of sample images as well that David Norton put up. And I think it's going to be pretty nice from the image quality for sure.
Mm. Now, I have a theory of why it's only a 30 megapixel, and I'll get to that towards the end.
Okay.
We're moving on now to a Digic 8 processor. Okay, that is another no surprise. They needed a new processor. They needed to work fast. Okay, we're not going to get bogged down with that. It is what it is. Now, what one thing where I think the kind of flawed with this part of the camera is, okay, I have a 5D Mark III. I do not have a 5D Mark IV. Now, it's 8 frames a second in continuous burst, right?
Yeah.
But that's only in one shot.
Okay.
Mode. So if you're in continuous, so you're tracking your subject, just say if you're an American football game or a GA game or something, right, on the field, if you turn it on to AI servo, you only get 5 frames a second. So you're losing 3 photographs in 1 second.
Wow.
That was a bit of a gripe to me now, because I was thinking of upgrading to a newer camera, but with that, that's one of the drawbacks that I would have found.
And why do you think that is? It's only 5. Why are we losing 3?
I don't know. I'd say that it could be fixed with firmware. And there's a few other things that can be fixed with the firmware going forward that we'll get to in a while as well. But I just think that might be one of the reasons. But I'm sure we'll hear something about it in these review videos that'll be coming out in the next few days.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
Now, the autofocus points. Sweet mother of God. how many is there?
5,635 or something along that crazy number. You might as well just call it 45,000,000, 60,000,000,000. Why do you need so many? 5,635.
That's an overkill, man. There's the six. How many have you got in your 60?
I don't know. 6 or 7 or something like that. And it works perfectly fine for me. But you know what I mean? Look, why? Well, honestly, all jokes aside, why would you need to have that many focus points?
I did it. It baffles me. Now, on your 60, I'd say you put it on your center focus point. I'd say you've never moved it off it, to be honest.
I do the occasional time, but generally, I get, as I said before, I get it for a steer, and then I just fine tune from manual because I'm landscape. I'm on 99% of the time I'm on a tripod. So, yeah, you could have 5,635 oranges, and it would make no difference to me.
I think someone will probably try prove us wrong, and you might need them. But I don't know. I don't need them.
No, but you know what? I will say one thing though, right? So the dual pixel autofocus that it has is phenomenally good. I have that on the G7 X Mark II, and it is really, really good. So you know, the fact that that's here now, and that does seem to become the staple diet, I suppose, from a focusing point of view with Canon. But that's great on its own. But why would you need so many other points? I mean, I don't understand it. And are they cross type points? Do you know?
I have no idea. I've read that it's 5,655.
55. Oh, gee, Max. That extra 20. Oh, I'm sold.
Oh, this is funny. All right. Come on, we move on. Okay. So, the EVF will work in -6.
Yeah, that's something I think is like, how?
But it won't be with every lens.
But the fact that it can do it at -6.
You have to be at 1.10. So, yeah, but just say I have on I have a 24 to 1. Just say you get to 28 to 70, the F2, the new one. That looks cool as hell.
That looks lovely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you see the third ring at the top of it? The knurled kind of aging on it. That looks sexy.
Yeah.
It actually looks sexy.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Look, to be fair, look, what they've released today from an ergonomics point of view and a look and feel, I'm sure John covered it, it's beautiful, you know.
Yeah. Now, if I shoot at F2 on that, I won't be able to get down to EV-6. It'll be a bit less. I don't know how much less, but you have to be at 1.2 to get -6. So,
oh, yeah?
Do you understand that part of it?
Kind of. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it's... So just say if I was shooting at 2.8, I can only focus at -4.
Right. Okay.
That's just an example. I could be totally wrong.
So you reckon that the
value of
so it. You reckon the EV -6 is another thing like the focus points overkill?
I don't know why you'd be at -6 in the first place.
If you were somewhere in a dark area that it can focus up as far as -6.
Okay.
Not that you're going to be
in a dark area like that.
Well, you would if you're like, if you got off being on auto ISO, like you said to us previously, you know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, auto ISO is brilliant. Now, I tell you this much now, if I did get this camera and I was at the 28 to 70, then I'd probably come off Auto ISO in the church. Yeah. That's when I only really use it, right? You can change that third ring to your shutter speed, your aperture, or ISO. I would have that in the ISO. So when I'm focusing or I'm zooming in, I can change the ISO quickly.
Yeah.
So like, that would be the one lens I would take off auto ISO in the church.
Yeah, and you know what? That is really innovative what they've done there. You know, I mean, look at all of the lenses that are out there. You've got, okay, you can do your different manual aspects of it, but bang, this thing, you can change it. It's fully programmable. And that's the one thing they said today on the launch, you know, about the fact that this camera is very, very customizable.
Yeah, I do like it. I was quite happy overall today, to be honest.
Wait to the end. Wait to the end. Don't give away your cards just yet.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, so what's next on our list?
Silent shooting.
Oh yeah. Silent shooting.
What do you reckon to that?
And it's only in one shot mode. It's not in continuous.
Yeah.
Which is again. Baffles me.
Yeah, hang on there. Wait, wildlife, hang on. Stop. Don't move. You moved. Come back. Go back again. Let's try again.
Yeah. And it's the same with the pupil detect. So it can only be in one shot.
But they reckon that's going to come with firmware updates, yeah?
Yeah. Same with firmware updates. Yeah. So something promising coming forward. So we can't really guess. Bogged down it too much, but it is something. You're launching the camera today. These things, do you know what? They should have this done before they sell the cameras to people in October.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. I'm just a bit surprised on launch day that they didn't have these things. You know, and I'm sure people will say it on the review videos.
Yeah, no doubt.
The OLED viewfinder is supposed to be really, really good, very clean, very crisp. It's almost like an optical viewfinder more, you know, you don't notice the difference. And over the last few months, like listen to people that they wouldn't really jump ship until the viewfinder was the exact same as an optical viewfinder.
Yeah, so that ticks that box, yeah?
That ticks it, yeah.
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, you know, like I've looked through a few viewfinders that... like the Sony is an example, and I go, wow, okay, it's like looking at a screen, and even the detail, and I loved about it is that, and what I hate about a standard live view or anything like that is if you're in a sunny day, you can't see the back of the screen. You don't know what your shot is actually going to look like or anything like that. Whereas with the whole EVF, you can look through. No matter how bright it is, you can see it perfectly. And I do think that's a very big advantage to the EVF. And listening again to the live broadcast this morning, the general consensus was, yeah, Jesus, this looks really good. This looks really, really good. So, yeah, I think that could be a next step if you're saying that people are waiting for the EVF to look as close as possible to a natural viewfinder. Then if they got that box ticked, bingo.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, I'm holding the R2 here in my hand, right? No, it's not a Canon, but even looking through the EVF in this thing, right? And then moving, there's not much lag at all in the R2. So the R3, it's even better again.
You don't have that yet.
No, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. I'll tell you why in a while.
Oh, yeah, you got gas.
I don't have gas. Although I'm just after eating dinner, I'm fairly stuffed.
And come here to me. What do you think of the whole idea now that they finally did it after many, many people complaining about the screen, the flip-out screen, the fully articulating screen?
I love it because I had a Canon 60D
myself
when I first started getting into... No, wait. That was my first camera. It's my second camera. Yeah.
450D and I loved was your it. First one, wasn't
I,
it?
I thought it was fantastic. Huh?
450D was your first one, wasn't it?
That's correct. I thought you were calling me a liar.
No, I remember. I listened. But yeah, you had the articulated screen on the 60D and you liked it.
Yeah, I loved it. I was able to, if I was doing any home videos or anything like that, I was able to, I know if I was in focus or what, like, you know, it was ideal.
Yeah.
It was dead handy.
I agree.
And even from a lower perspective, if you have it down by your feet taking a shot of something, I don't know. You're able to turn it.
I fully agree. I had it on the 70D, and until it decided to take a swim. But when I changed to the 60, then I really, really missed it. And also, it was touchscreen on the 70D. In the 60, I know it was an older camera, but it didn't have the touchscreen either. And it took me a long while. You know, when you get muscle memory and you're used to doing things and you're used to your
camera. Yeah.
And I kept touching the screen going, and nothing was happening. So now, this being back and being, you know, I think they kind of would have associated it as being a gimmicky thing or not for the pro cameras, like a prosumer camera. But from people I've seen and people using the 5D Mark IV, it's a phenomenally good camera, but it missing that flip-out screen. And also, with the flip-out screen, it opens up to a whole different world from a vlogging point of view. So, you know, you look at that, you see what you want to have. The amount of people out there that have a 5D Mark IV, which is phenomenal from video quality, but they can't use it for vlogging. No, bang, this should be able to tick that box as well. So, yeah, I think very, very good move having that screen and bringing it to this level of a camera and not being thinking, oh, sure, no, the pros wouldn't want it or whatever. Everybody wants it. Even if you don't use it, it's good to have it just in case.
I would love it in my cameras because, like, even if I'm at a first dance and or not a first, the bride and groom are dancing, they're in the middle of a circle, and I want to get my camera up high in the air and I can't see what I'm focusing on. No, I can. You know, I can do it with the Sony A7 R2, but not fully. I can tilt it down towards me, but I would prefer the Canon one.
Yeah.
Now, the next feature I think you're going to love, I think this might be one of your favorites.
What?
What is it? The touch bar.
Oh, yeah, where they took an idea from Apple.
Yes.
Yeah. I think, again, that should be really, really nice, Dermot, because, again, it's early days yet. It's only released today, you know, but, well, yeah, launched today. You can customize this camera and you can do this to do whatever you want it to do. Yeah, am I correct on that?
Yeah, so it'd be like the third ring on the lens. You can adjust aperture, shutter speed, ISO. You can even turn the camera off with the ring on the lens and with the touch bar. So it opens up a whole... Do you want to... It's like a quick menu on your Canon. Yeah. Do you want to be able to have a quick menu? Something very similar to that, but more in depth and more advanced.
Brilliant.
Now, nobody knows exactly 100% what it's going to be able to do, so we'll have to wait again.
Mm. But yeah, I think that's really good to bring that into the camera, you know. And I suppose from the bigger point of view, do you think there's a potential that they've got too much technology in it?
No, not at all, because Canon, they're like Microsoft, right? Let's just say Microsoft have so many things in their arsenal so for the next 20 years. So if they release them all at once, then they'd be left wanting. They'll have nothing to sell a year later after that. I think Canon would be kind of in the same boat. They're holding back, all right? They don't want to cannibalize their sales for the DSLR either. They want to keep their sales going on that side of the market. They don't want to give it all on the
mirrorless.
On this new mirrorless camera, you know. They want to keep the sales going in every department as much as possible. Here, look, we all want to make money.
Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so... right, next. This is a very interesting new development in the Canon series. It's these adapters. The reason why it's very interesting is that they've brought out not one, not two, but three different adapters. So you have your normal adapter, which will bring your EF to the arm mount. Then you have a function one.
Right.
I didn't have enough time now to do a bit of research on the function one. I don't know how it does. Do you?
No, I said there are the three things that I didn't get a chance to really look into, but from what I can understand is that you function, which means that you can adjust your f-stop on that. I believe so, but again, I could be wrong on that. It could be way wrong or it could be spot on, but sure, who knows?
Yeah, okay. And then the third one then, this is one that I was kind of touched base with John earlier, is that the fact that you can drop in filters now. So you have a variable ND filter and a polarizer.
Mm. I don't know.
Your response is weird.
Yeah, I don't know really about that. Yeah, I don't really know about that. It could be good.
Do you think it could take away sales from, just say, Lee filter or Format High Tech and all that?
It has the potential to do it, but it depends on who's making the glass. So, you know, like...
And it depends on the cost.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so look... I use Lee filters, as you know. You use Lee filters, you've used Nisi filters, you've used Haida filters. every single one of the filters, the glass is going to be different, and there's going to be a different potential cast from it. And if you've got clarity issues or whatever it may have been, you've got this thing inside in this adapter, okay, are you going to have it for the sake of having it just in case you ever need to use it, but you're going to revert back to the filters that you're used to? It could be innovative, it could be unique. I know John has a Sigma 300 mil, I think it is, and you can drop in filters early in the lens in regards to that. So again, it's nothing new that Canon have done per se, but it's built into the adapter. If it's so important, why haven't they got that built into the lenses? So if I'm buying native lenses and native on the EOS R body, then I don't have that. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So was that potentially, we need an adapter, okay, yeah, look, we just can't do it, a boring old adapter, what can we do with it? Oh, I know, we can put in some controls. Oh, I know, we can add in this as well. Oh, brilliant. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see the quality of the glass and see what this, of the filters. Now, the price of them, I'm just after pulling them up there, and they're not cheap.
For the adapter?
In any way. Yeah.
$300 or something, is it?
So for the drop-in filter mount with the circular polarizing filter is €350. Wow. Now, and then the drop-in filter mount with the variable ND filter is €470.
Wow.
I wouldn't buy them.
No.
Just from the price point alone.
That's just the adapter alone, yeah?
That's the adapter and those products.
But why would you do it? How much is the base adapter? $299.
Bear with me. I'm just looking for it now. So the control ring mount adapter is €239. You can get buy the body that comes with a mount, but it's not the ring mount. It's so the body and the normal mount without any function is €2,729.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're swinging for the fences that one, and it wouldn't work for me. Just from a price point, I have these filters already. Why
exactly
would I buy them again?
Exactly, and they're only going to be applicable to somebody who is migrating from an existing system. So if I only need the adapter if I'm migrating from an existing system. And if I'm migrating from an existing system, chances are I already have all of my glass. So why would I need it? So I don't know if it's really...
Yeah.
Yeah, look, time will tell. Let's see, you know. But like, there's something there, I suppose, that we haven't touched on yet, actually, and I do think it's going to be a nice aspect. What do you think of the nice LED display on the top of the camera?
That's kind of cool. It's different. It's a nice aesthetic point of view. It's something different. It's almost like it's more futuristic.
It's not 1987 dot matrix.
No, it's not. And that's one thing. I don't even use that thing on my own camera.
I don't either, but so, the odd time I will, and I go, especially if it's at night time, and I'm like, okay, I push on this light, and it goes on for a millisecond, and it's off again. You're like, ah! Whereas, you know, I think this could be much, much better, you know. But yeah, that
if you're able to set the time. Can you, actually, do you know, I never even looked into this. Can we set the time on our own?
To how long the light stays on? No.
Yeah.
But this is going to be
I would have felt
an LCD screen.
I would have felt fairly stupid now if you could.
this is going to be an LCD screen as well, so it kind of makes it more modern, as you say. And it's, from what I can see in it, it's going to be very, very big. But look, it's like as if the top of the camera, somebody from Canon went over and knocked on the door of Nikon, and somebody from Nikon went over and knocked on the door of Canon and went, what are you doing on the top? Yeah. I'll do the same. Because they're almost exactly the same. Yeah.
Someone told me that the same guy owns Nikon and Canon. I don't know how much.
I heard that too before. I don't know. Possibility.
I doubt it.
Possibility.
Now, let's move on to... I'm only going to touch base on video just for 2 seconds. It's the 4K video.
Yeah,
okay.
It's cropped.
4K video is great for most people. Yeah, 1.7. Yeah. That's a bit stupid. Yeah.
But look, Canon, from a video point of view, this is my honest to God thoughts in regards to it. Canon have cameras that they do for video. Canon have cameras that they do for photos. To combine the both of them together effectively kind of says, all right, you can have everything you want in one go here. If it had 4K uncropped in that small body of a camera, why would I go off and buy a dedicated film camera? Except if I wanted to record in the Reds at 8K or whatever it may have been. But from a 4K point of view, they always have to hold something back. And potentially, there is the talk that there's a pro version of this camera coming out. And that is to plan to have 4K. But, you know, 4K crop, all right. You know what? It's better than 1080p.
Yeah, you're right. Like, there is the Canon C100 and C300. They're video cameras, more or less, you know. So, again, they don't want to cannibalize the sales of them either. Yeah. Because if these cameras had the 4K, full 4K, then people are going to go buy this camera instead because it's lighter, smaller, and it's, I'm sure the sensor's probably better. I could be wrong, but... Yeah, I'm not going to get bogged down too much about video because we are mostly photographers on here.
I use video on a regular basis, and I would love to have 4K video. I'd like to have 4K video for the whole purpose of if I wanted to crop it myself afterwards. Or if I wanted to put a Ken Burns effect or whatever on one of the videos, then okay, fine, there's going to be no deterioration on video. One thing I don't like about 4K, and that's why I stopped, well, not the main reason, but one of the reasons why I stopped using the Osmo, which actually I must ask you how you're getting on with, by the way, was the amount of space that it took up on hard drives with 4K video. It was just insane. Insane. So I'm shooting with the DJI Mavic, that's 4K. That's enough taking up space in regards to it. But luckily, they're only short bursts of video. Whereas if I was shooting an episode of my vlog in 4K, sure, geez, I'd be going through a 4 terabyte hard drive every 2 months.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's also managed to get its... didn't steal this from Sony. Maybe they probably did. The focus peaking. That's brilliant.
Has it got that?
I found it fantastic. Has it got that? Focus peaking.
No.
Do you like that?
No, I'm interested.
No, the Sony camera, when I'm doing a first dance and it's really dark and I can't focus properly, I'd use the manual focus, and it's great with the focus peaking. I can get the couple boom where I want them. It's ideal.
Yeah.
You know, so this camera's going to be able to do it now. Oh,
that's going to be savage altogether. Because I think that is a big thing, you know, to know that you've got the shot. And I've seen it again on the Sonys. Like, you look and everything is red. Okay, I'm in focus. Don't have to worry about it. Is Canon going to be red as well, or are they going to just go a different color, blue or something, just for the sake of being different?
They have to go red, man. Face detect for the video as well. It's supposed to be very, very good.
It is.
It'd be ideal for you.
It's on my G7X Mark II. It's quite good. It will find me, it will follow me, it will track me. I haven't had an issue with me myself being out of focus unless I have gone into manual focus beforehand and just been a gombine and not turned it back to auto. it picks me up and it will follow me and it will track, and it seems to be spot on so far. So that's in it too, that's good.
Cool. Now, this thing I love. This is awesome. Right. Okay. I have a Sony A7R Mark II, and if I'm changing the lenses, I'm terrified of getting dust spots. And I have to clean my camera at least once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, a good proper clean. With the Canon mirrorless, you take off the camera, or sorry, you take it off the lens, it's like a shutter comes down and closes over the sensor.
Ah, brilliant.
I think it's fantastic. So when you're changing lenses, You're not going to get dusts or any of this crap.
That's brilliant.
Onto your top of your sensor.
That's brilliant. And actually, just as you said that there, I never even thought I had that, but as you said that there, comes to mind to ask a question. Do you know, have they got, you know, you're doing a long exposure and the Nikon has the viewfinder shutter will close down, so it stops light leak. You don't need that now anymore because it's mirrorless, so there's going to be no light leak potentially. Is that right?
Correct. And it's the same in the Sony. I don't have to block it or anything. It's ideal. Yeah.
And that's interesting. It comes down the front as well. So because obviously if you're changing lenses when you're out in the field, you've nothing like in the DSLR, you've got the mirror that gives you some bit of a chance to stop it getting on the sensor. Whereas this, bang, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I'm sure other companies will start to latch onto that, you know. Bluetooth and Wi-Fi is on
standard
this.
Norm, which if it didn't have it, they'd be left behind even further. What do you think?
The The reason I think to have this, and I said to John earlier, I think this is a 6D mirrorless camera.
I think it's a 5.
It's like a 6D Mark III.
I think it's a 5D Mark IV mirrorless.
No, no, that's coming out. That'll be used in 6 months' time.
No, I think it's a condensed version of the 5D Mark IV.
I don't know.
Well,
it's, you know, the only time will tell.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, obviously, when you get one, you'll be able to tell me, won't you?
I'm not getting this camera. I contemplated. I actually genuinely was thinking, will I go for it? Okay, maybe. I do like it. It looks gorgeous. It's one of my more favourite cameras this year, if I'm being totally honest. Hashtag.
True story.
T-shirt. but I'm going to hold off. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to buy this one. I'm going to wait till they bring out they're probably going to bring out two new cameras. They kind of alluded to it in the press release this morning that there could be two cameras more coming in the future quite soon. So whether it's 6 months or 12 months down the line, I think they're going to bring out like a 5D 4 mirrorless camera in about 6 months. And I'd say about another 6 months after that, they're probably going to bring out a 1D mirrorless camera.
Well, I think if they're after saying that the whole new mounting system is the way forward, then theoretically speaking, are they going to change the way that the company goes? They said that they were innovators back when they launched the EOS system in 1987, I think it was the year. I'm not quite sure.
That's right, yeah.
They're bringing this out here, which is now going to be the next phase in the direction that Canon will go. And if that is the case, you may be right, you know, when they bring out the next cameras, they'll continue down that route. But the part that really disappointed me about the launch of this camera was something that was going to be swaying me whether I would stay with Canon or whether I would jump ship. And that is, I've spent a lot of money on Canon gear over the years, and now I get a whole new camera and I go, yeah, it's shiny, oh yeah, it's great, oh yeah, I want it, okay. But it's not just about buying the camera now. I gotta go and buy the camera or an adapter to use my existing lenses, or I gotta go buy the native lenses. And if I'm going to do that, I might as well just go Sony, because I'll buy the Sony body, buy the Sony adapter, keep my existing lenses. Am I going to get a better all-round camera from Sony, potentially, than what Canon have released today? I think I possibly will. The dynamic range of the Sony sensor is so good that, you know, Nikon are using it in the D850. Is it going to be a different sensor that's going to be in this R series? I think so. And only time will tell what the dynamic range would be. So, you know, I'm still leaning towards going down the route of Sony, but like you say, only time will tell. I'd like to be able to see the actual image quality when people start producing images from it, to see what the range would be, and more importantly, I'd like to see some raw images, because, you know, look, you shoot Sony, you shoot Canon, I shoot Canon, but I have gotten around 10 raw files from a Sony A7R Mark II and a Sony A7R Mark III, and to be honest with you, hashtag Dermot O'Donovan, be honest with you, they blew me away. So, you know, that's really, I was expecting and hoping that, you know what, why not reward all the loyal Canon fanboys worldwide that have been with the EOS system since 1987 and bring it forward to the next level. And then guess what? You can still have your newer lenses, your 1.2s, your phenomenal quality of glass, your lighter glass, but allow the generation that has funded and kept the business going the opportunity to be rewarded for something new in technology. What they're doing here is that, yeah, you're a Canon person, okay, you want to continue to use my stuff, yeah, give me more money.
But that's business.
It is, but you know what? Loyalty.
I understand the loyalty aspect of it, but these companies have to make money. And
yeah, so they make they're not making any money by selling a body of a camera for how much? 2,000, how much?
€2,729.95.
Yeah, so it cost them €2,699 to manufacture. Is that right? No, exactly. So there's plenty of margin there in regards to it. Okay, you know what? You've got your retailer margin, you've got your distributor margin, you've got your production the whole way through. But my good God, that is a crazy amount of money for a body of a camera. That it's become the norm in regards to the pricing of it. But at least if I could take my existing lenses and migrate over onto the new technology, then I'd go, I'm even tempted now, look, because I can go and get one of these new native lenses, the 1.2s, and it hasn't broken the bank. It's still going to cost you a lot of money, but it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more money than what it actually should be. And that's where I think rewarding people from loyalty will keep people strong with the brand and will stop the multitude of people that are jumping ship. And don't forget, Fuji are coming out now soon and Olympus as well. So there's a lot of competition coming into this place. And if you want people to stick with your brand, you know, the fact that it's got Canon over it is brilliant, great. But give me something to reward me for being a loyal Canon fanboy for so many years. Rant over.
Okay. You hit on a lot of valid points there, and I would agree with a good bit of them. But you know what? We're going to leave it there, Darren, because we don't want to be here all night. This is an emergency podcast. We don't want it to be too long like our normal ones. But yeah, it's been fun talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, cheers. When you get the camera, give me a shout there and I'll go up and I'll use it there, yeah? You're doing the pre-orders, aren't you?
No bother.
All right. Listen, man, good to talk to you there, yeah?
I'll talk to you soon, pal.
Good luck.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.